from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, we've been doing a series that we're concluding today on monsters. And you know, most monsters get monster movies, but not all monster movies are good monster movies. Have you ever seen a bad monster movie? Yeah, they're bad. In fact, I was thinking about it. There are actually some signs that you're watching a bad monster movie. I counted. There are 10. Do you want to hear the top 10 signs you're watching a bad monster movie? Yes, you do. Here they are, the top 10 signs you're watching a bad monster movie. Number 10, the monster tortures people by showing pictures of his summer trip to the Poconos. Not a good monster movie. Number 9, you see more blood during a haircut at Great Clips. Number 8, it's 2 hours of the monster writing his bucket list. I don't think so. Top 10 signs you're watching a bad monster movie. Number 7, the plot involves a guy with allergies stuck on an island inhabited by fluffy kittens. Number 6, the monster comes to Las Vegas, does some shopping at the Caesar Forum shops, and leaves. That's just the whole movie. Number 5, the beast with a disfigured face. It's just Carrot Top. Number 4, on the side of the monster, you can read the word Hasbro. Wait a second. Number 3, the monster doesn't kill people. He just tickles them. Number 2, the mangled corpse in the background keeps sneezing. And the number 1 sign you're watching a bad monster movie, victims scream, please kill me. This movie sucks. Well, next week we're starting a new series called Have Yourself a Messy Little Christmas. The Christmas season is supposed to be the merry season, but a lot of our lives are messy. Maybe as this year ends, you're feeling disappointed, or you're still waiting, or you have some people who are driving you crazy. We're going to learn in our new series how God can help. But today, we conclude our monster series with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde have become a huge part of pop culture. There have been dozens of TV shows and movies featuring the two sides of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And Marvel's Incredible Hulk was loosely based on Jekyll and Hyde, as was DC Comics supervillain Two-Face. You know the idea of these characters, but maybe not the original story. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the late 1800s. The story is about Henry Jekyll, who lives in England. He's well-liked, lots of friends, and he's fascinated with the idea that there seems to be two sides to every person, a good side and a bad side. In fact, he notices it in himself. He's a nice guy. Everyone likes him. But he knows there's a darker side he hides from people. He also finds that there's a struggle inside him. Like when he wants to do something good, the bad side of him whispers, "You're so boring. Such a phony. If these people knew the real you." And when he wants to do something bad, his good side tells him not to and worries about his reputation. One day, he gets a wild idea. What if the two sides of a person could be totally separated? What if within one single person, the good and the bad could be completely independent of each other? That way, the good side could be totally good without evil thoughts bothering him, and the bad side could be totally bad, enjoy all his evil fantasies without his conscience saying he shouldn't. So he develops a potion that he thinks can make this happen. And then late one moonlit night, he takes his first sip of it. As soon as he drinks the stuff, it starts to take effect. He is overwhelmed with pain, feels like he's dying, almost passes out. But then he begins to feel better. But he notices his hands have changed. They're thinner, hairy. His clothes, which had fit perfectly, are now hanging off of him. He looks in the mirror and he sees his face has changed. He's disfigured and sinister looking, kind of like, yeah, but he feels great, free and invincible, like he can take on the world. And all these evil, sick thoughts start going through his head. He realizes the person he's looking at in the mirror is the evil side of him. He's done it. He has succeeded in separating his personality. Well, that first night, he doesn't do anything. He just stays in his lab. And the same potion that changes him into evil can change him back. And so he just drinks down another swig of the nasty stuff, and he's back to his old self again. Well, he's sort of freaked out by the whole incident. So he doesn't drink the potion again for a few days. But then temptation starts to set in. He remembers the adrenaline rush of being pure evil. And so finally, he drinks the potion again, and the evil persona comes back. But this time, he goes out, gets drunk, gets with all the women he wants. No inhibitions. And then he rolls back home about sunrise, drinks a little of the potion, and instantly, he's the Honorable Henry Jekyll again, Dr. Henry Jekyll. But he goes out the next day, and yeah, he does his work as a good doctor, and he smiles a lot and to people, and no one has any idea what he did the night before. Because he had so much fun, and because it's impossible for people to recognize him as his evil persona, he decides to start living a double life. He buys a house across town for his evil twin, who he calls Mr. Hyde. He opens a separate bank account in that name so no one will ever figure out what he's up to. And he starts thinking he may decide to stay Mr. Hyde permanently. And so he makes a will for Henry Jekyll, leaving all of his belongings to Mr. Hyde. And night after night, he goes out and he lives the life of sinister Mr. Hyde. And then by day, he maintains his role as the respectable Dr. Henry Jekyll. Well, everything is going just fine until this one night when Mr. Hyde goes overboard and he gets into some trouble. So he turns back into Henry Jekyll and decides to lay low for a while and just let the smoke clear before he becomes Mr. Hyde again. But something strange starts to happen. He begins to feel like the Mr. Hyde inside of him is trying to get out. Like he's got a prisoner locked inside him, screaming out to be free. He can't stand it anymore, and so he takes some potion, and he becomes Mr. Hyde again. But man, this time when he goes out, he kills someone. No reason, just hatred. I mean, just evil drives him to take this person's life. And so the police get involved, and everyone starts looking for Mr. Hyde. Well, Dr. Jekyll, and he feels bad, and he decides, that's it. No more Mr. Hyde. Never again. But then something terrible starts to happen. One day, he's sitting in his library reading when he starts to feel sick. He's in pain, and his hands begin to change, and his clothes start to loosen, and he becomes Mr. Hyde. It seems Mr. Hyde has become stronger. Dr. Jekyll can turn into Mr. Hyde without the potion. And it's no longer Dr. Jekyll calling the shots. Now it is Mr. Hyde. And so Dr. Jekyll, as Mr. Hyde, races to his lab, drinks some potion, and quickly becomes himself again. But then later that night, Dr. Jekyll is sleeping when he wakes up and he discovers he has changed into Mr. Hyde again. He can't control it anymore. Mr. Hyde just keeps growing stronger in him. And so he runs to his lab, drinks some potion, but this time nothing happens. And so he drinks a little more, nothing happens. Finally, after a few more doses, he's back to himself, to Dr. Jekyll. But man, Mr. Hyde just starts to increasingly take over Henry Jekyll's life. Dr. Jekyll has to keep taking more and more and more potion to get back to his good self. And then eventually he runs out of potion and he gets stuck as Mr. Hyde. And everyone is looking for Mr. Hyde to kill him for the murder he's committed. And the story finally ends with Dr. Jekyll killing himself in order to finally put an end to the evil Mr. Hyde. So in this teaching series, we've been talking about monsters. Hey, I wonder, I don't think I've asked you this before. Do you have a favorite monster? We got the chat room where you can say hi and ask questions and interact. We want this to be an interactive experience, a family that's joined together online. Just put it in there, say, hey, maybe your name. What's your favorite monster? Do you have a favorite monster? Maybe one that we've covered in this series, maybe a different one. If you want, put that in the chat room. This monster, the idea of Jekyll and Hyde is that there's two of you. And this monster idea is one you actually find in the Bible a lot. I'm going to show you one example today. There's a bunch, but one, Romans, the book of Romans, by the way, there's 66 books in the Bible. One of them is called Romans, written to Romans, chapter 7. And this is written by a guy named Paul, who was one of the early Christians. He's kind of a mover and shaker in Christianity back then. And so here's what he writes. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? So he's saying there's me, but then there's like another me. There's two in one, two Pauls, a good one and a bad one. He's a Jekyll and a Hyde. He says, I've got this other person, power, this person living in me who's not supposed to be here. God doesn't want him in here. I don't. And yet he's here. And he cries out, who can save me from such a terrible mess? And man, reading that, I think we can relate because there's two of us. And I'm not talking about if you have a twin or if you're Spider-Man. I'm saying that we've each looked in the mirror and seen our evil side. And I wonder when and where Mr. Hyde tends to come out for you. You might be all Dr. Jekyll with church people. You know, you're smiling, you're laughing, but then you go home and Mr. Hyde comes out. You're grumpy, you're mean, you're lazy, you're putting your family down using a language that you'd never use around church people. Maybe your family walks on eggshells. They live in fear of you. Or it could be that you're great with church people and you're okay at home, but when you go to work, man, everything changes. Your attitude changes, your language changes. You make comments or jokes that are just wrong. It's like the Jesus you worshiped at church has nothing to do with your life. And so, who are you, really? Or it could be that Mr. Hyde comes out when you go out on weekends with your friends. Or maybe Mr. Hyde comes out when you're alone, right? When no one's watching, a whole different you takes over. And you do things you would never do if anyone was watching. And the ironic thing is that God is always watching, but somehow you just conveniently ignore that so you can do what you want to do. Does it break God's heart? Yes. Are you concerned about that? No. I get it, because I wrestle with this as well, okay? No judgment. There's two of us, but it's wrong to be two people, right? It's wrong. We know that. And God doesn't want you to be two people, and you don't want to be two people, right? It's exhausting to have to live in the lies and deception. And when you're two people, man, it can be scary because you don't know who's going to show up. And there's this danger that the you really don't want to be might grow stronger and kind of take over, right? It's so easy for the darkness to just take control. So I remember the first time I ever stole anything. I was probably 13 years old, and I was at a record store in the mall, and I was looking through the cassette tapes. If you're under whatever age and you're like, cassette tapes, ask your parent. They'll explain. Google it. Well, I noticed that there was a cassette tape that didn't have the little magnetic strip on it that sets the alarm system off. And I was like, oh. And so I decided to just stick it in my pocket. And as soon as I even just made that decision, I'm going to go for it, my heart started racing. Like I was a nervous, guilty wreck, but I did it. And I walked out of the store, and the whole thing freaked me out. But I did it again and again. And within a few months, I was bringing an X-Acto knife to that record store in the mall, and I would just go from tape to tape that I wanted, and I would just cut off the magnetic strip of the tape and just drop it into the bag I had from another store. And I would walk out with a bag full of tapes without any nervousness and no guilt. Huh. You feel that, right? It's just so easy for the evil inside of us to grow stronger and take over. And we don't want that. We don't want to be two people. God doesn't want that for us. He calls us to be just one person, to always have the same character, no matter the circumstances or who's around. So, how? Right? How? You have to kill the monster. I feel like I should say that more like, you have to kill the monster. But probably not. I don't know. It just sounds kind of ominous, but it's true. You have to kill the monster. And that's not something you're going to be able to do on your own. Me neither. You're going to need God's help for that. So you remember in Romans 7, Paul talks about how there's two of him. And then he cries out in desperation, who can save me from this terrible mess? Here's his answer. In verse 25, he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He learned only Jesus can save me from this. You have to kill the monster, and you're going to need God's help to do it. Mr. Hyde has to die. Here's what you need to do. You need to kill the monster once and for all, and then kill him again every day. You need to kill him once and for all, and then kill him again every day. And the way God helps us to kill Mr. Hyde once and for all is through baptism. Baptism is when a person, because of their faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, is lowered underwater and then raised up out of water. Let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 7. It says, since we, check this out, since we have died to sin, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? When did we die to sin? Or have you forgotten that when we were united with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So that's saying that in baptism, there's a very real sense in which you choose to die, to kill the sin, the monster inside of you. That's why in baptism, we're buried in water. It's like going into a grave. In baptism, you kill the spiritual authority of evil over you. You make a decision like, I'm done with this. There has been a Mr. Hyde inside of me, and he has got to die. I will not live under his authority anymore. I am giving my life to God. I trust him, and I want to live my life under his authority and his care. And if you believe in Jesus but have never been baptized, even if today you're putting your faith in Jesus but have never been baptized by your own choice, not your parents' choice, that was awesome for your parents, or not someone else's choice, your choice. If you've never been baptized because you chose to, because of your faith, you could get baptized. How cool would that be? If you want the monster to die and you want to be baptized, man, let us know. Verve.cc. Verve.cc, there's a little link that says baptism. If you click that, we'll get in touch with you, answer questions you have, and we'll help you to make that happen no matter where you live. We'll make sure that that happens for you. You need to kill the monster once and for all, and then you need to kill him again every day. See, in baptism, you kill Mr. Hyde once and for all. The Bible says that happens in baptism. That's once and for all. Except it's not once and for all. But because the truth is, the sad, hard truth is that Mr. Hyde will come back to haunt you if you let him. Mr. Hyde is going to keep coming back at you, honestly, every day, tempting you to go back to your old ways, trying to reassert his authority over you, even though you already told him you're done with him. And it will feel kind of the same. The temptation feels kind of the same, but it's not the same, because you now have the ability to say no. You can now say, no, I have a new authority. You don't have authority over me. I have a new power. You don't have power over me. And so leave. You can say yes. No, you say no to his authority and what he wants for your life. See, you kill the monster once and for all in baptism, but then you have to kill him again every day. So how do you kill him every day? You starve him. You starve him. Look at, we're in Romans today. Look at Romans chapter 8, these verses. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, Mr. Hyde, right, the evil side of me, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit in you. We'll talk about it, but it's God's Spirit within you, empowering you. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But if you are not controlled by your sinful nature, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Why? Because we already read Romans 6 said, because you were baptized, right? It says you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And the Bible talks about how you receive the Spirit of God in you when you're baptized. It goes on to say, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You die to that. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. The idea is that every day you have a choice. I have a choice. Will you let Mr. Hyde rear his ugly head again, or will you live for God? And God, he gives you a baptism to help you to kill the monster once and for all. And God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you kill him every day. The Holy Spirit, I said, it's God's presence with you and within you to help you. And so you are not alone in this fight. You're not having to do this in your own power. He is with you, and he will give you power over temptation. But still, you have to make the choice. The choice to kill Mr. Hyde and make sure he stays dead and never comes back by starving him. By starving him. There are certain things that, you know, that feed the evil inside you, that tempt you to go back to the sins you struggle with. So you choose, you make a decision, you choose to not do or be around those things that you know feed the evil and lead you towards temptation. I mean, think about this. Why resist a temptation tomorrow if you have the power to eliminate it today? Right? But why resist a temptation tomorrow if you have the power to eliminate it today? So you're going to starve your evil side. Starve this. So if you struggle with alcohol, man, don't even go in a bar. If you struggle with anger, don't watch or listen to things that get your blood boiling. If you struggle with lust, maybe stop following some people on Instagram or eliminate some channels from your channel guide and your TV or get accountability software for your computer. If you struggle with shopping and getting into debt, maybe just cut up your credit cards and go with a cash-only system or just with a debit card. If you are not the greatest dancer, avoid dance battles, right? That's what we're saying. You starve yourself of whatever the potion is that turns you into Mr. Hyde. You starve Mr. Hyde and you feed Dr. Jekyll. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, so you feed it. You increase the Spirit's strength in you. You increase your reliance on him, your connection to him. How do you do that? Well, being at church, watching church service, interacting with this every week feeds the Spirit inside of you. Praying feeds the Spirit. Reading the Bible, singing to God, giving, serving. I mean, what are the things that make you feel closer to God, that seem to give you spiritual vitality and strength? Do those things. Listen, it's wrong to be two people. We all have that battle, right? But it's wrong. It's wrong to be two people. And God doesn't want you to be two people, and you don't want to be two people. So you need to kill the monster. You need to kill Mr. Hyde once and for all. That happens, the Bible says, in baptism. And then you need to kill him again every day. God gives you his spirit to help you to starve the monster, feed the spirit. You have a strength not your own. And if you do this, you know what will happen? You'll be one person. And you will be free. Free. Can you imagine not having to live with the guilt and the regrets, the shame, not having to live in fear that people will find out, not having to feel like you're hiding part of yourself from God or from the people you love? And you will be one person, and you will be free. So, and why not make the decision today? I'm done. Like, once and for all, I'm killing Mr. Hyde. Once and for all in baptism, if you've never done that, and then again, every day for the rest of your life. That's the way it works. I wonder what decision you need to make today. Maybe it's to start starving Mr. Hyde. Maybe you need to do something different. Or to start feeding the Holy Spirit inside you. Maybe there's some things you need to start doing consistently. Or if you haven't, maybe you need to make the decision to get baptized. Whatever it is, we're here to help you take that next step. Like, that's what we're here for. So let me pray for you. And pray that you'll take that next step. Let us know what it is. Use that verb.cc, the connection card. Use the chat room. Talk to us. We would love to help you. And after I pray, we're going to do a song to God. This is the kind of thing that feeds the spirit inside of us, keeps us connected to God. We're going to sing. You can just listen, or you can sing out loud, whatever you want. We're going to do a song to God together. All right? Let's pray. God, every one of us can relate to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, to Paul's words in the book of Romans. We all know what it is to have two of us, to have this battle within us. And we don't want to live this way anymore. You know, I'm tired. We're tired of this wrestling match. We're tired of the guilt and the shame, the regrets. So God, would you help us decide today to take a next step? If we've never been, to choose to die, to kill that monster through baptism, or if we've done that, to starve the monster, to get away, to keep ourselves from the temptation, and to feed the spirit. There's things we can do that keep the spirit strong in us, God. Help us to take that next step. God, thanks for a place like this where we can connect and have people who are willing to help us. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. God, we sing this next song in Jesus' name. Amen.